And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. Welcome to the Saturday Night Wine Stream. I'm Rick, and tonight we are going to open a special bottle of wine that I picked up at a wine store a few weeks ago, and I did taste it just briefly. There wasn't a whole lot to taste, because they just gave me just a little bit, but I was so intrigued by it, by the tasting I had, that I said, I have to get a bottle and taste this for real and share it with you here on the wine stream. And that's what we're going to do tonight. This bottle of wine is called, this is a French wine. And I did take a year of French in high school, but to be honest, my French is not very good. This is called Domaine de la Jeunesse, and it's a Côtes du Rhône Villages wine. This is Terre d'Argile, I guess. Yeah, I told you my French was horrible. I'm really gonna butcher this tonight. The French language. I'm going to really, and so all my friends who are from France. Who are my European friends, please forgive me. I was not born in France, so this is going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, let's see who we have in the chat. First of all, Tim's in the chat. Hi, Tim. It's great to see you. Great to see you in the chat. Stick around, and I hope you have a bottle of wine or your favorite beverage to drink along. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. I'm going to talk about a few things. Steve is with us in the chat as well. Hi, Steve. Great to see you. And stick around. I'm not sure what y'all are drinking, but join in. Doesn't really matter. If you're not drinking anything, if you're only drinking water, that's okay, because I have some as well. I have a bottle of water to work in between glasses of wine. I'll explain why I do that later, if you're not already aware of it. A couple of things first. I just want to mention the website. You know, of course, you can watch if you're not watching us on Facebook or in on YouTube. You can catch us on the website at drinkwithrick.com. That's drinkwithrick.com. And you can also catch us on Twitter at Drink with Rick, and of course on our Facebook page, Drink with Rick. Pretty much it's all called Drink with Rick, so because that's what we do. We drink with Rick. Tim says hi. Hi, Tim. It's great to see you once again. Stick around. I hope we can chat. Feel free to chat. Join us in the chat. Tell me what you're drinking. Tell me what you're not drinking. Tell me what you'd like to be drinking, or what you'd like to see me drinking. I have had some suggestions from my sister during the week and from my cousin Pete, although I'll probably go with her suggestion on that one, and I'll talk about that in a little bit as well. Anyway, this wine, once again, Domaine de la Jeunesse. It is, it's hard to read. Let me pull up a photograph of this. I took an image of it earlier, and it's a nice-looking bottle. It's a nice-looking label, but this is Terre d'Argile, Côtes du Rhône Villages, and it's a 2016. And this, let me get another shot of the backside of this. Here we go. I'm going to read this, and this is where I start doing terrible things to the French language, but bear with me. And at the very least, it should be entertaining, right? The label says, this is an Eric Salmon European Cellar Selection wine, by the way. It's hard to read because it's so small. The Côtes du Rhône comes from a 20-acre vineyard adjacent to the Châteauneuf-des-Papes vineyards belonging to Domaine de la Jeunesse. I told you this. I was going to have a hard time with this. Its blend is made of Grenache, 55%, Syrah, 25%, Carignan, 10%, and Cinsault, Yeah, well, it was 5%, whatever it is. And Mourvèdre, and I know how to pronounce that, and that's 5%. This wine is concentrated. It really does say that. I didn't mess that up. It really does say concentrated. This wine is concentrated. I think they mean concentrated. With aromas, maybe not. With aromas reminiscent of the herbs of Provence. There's a lot more to it, but I'm not going to go through that because I'll spare your ears with my horrible, horrible French. Let's see who else is in the chat. Chrissy's in the chat. Great to see you, Chrissy, and I hope you're doing well, and Richard as well. I hope he's joining in and watching. If not, join in and have your favorite wine. Yeah, you know, you didn't know that was I didn't know that was you, right? Yeah, I knew that was you. but it's good to see you here. And anyway, we're going to go ahead and open this. I forgot to put my camera back on. Here we go. Tim, I know you're having a good laugh watching me try to do my own on-air switching because it's when you're a one-man operation, you're doing it all yourself and you've got a lot of things going. I'm no more excuses. You know, just enjoy the laugh. It's fun. Anyway, we're going to open this up, and to do that, I'm going to, before I do that, let me introduce the food tonight. This wine is supposed to go good with some sausages, and I have some sausages. I also have some cheese and some crackers here, and I'll introduce those a little more later. The crackers are primarily to clear the palate when I need to do that. The sausage, we're going to find out how well it pairs up with that, because supposedly it does. So we'll talk about the wine a little bit more, but let's go ahead and open it, because I'm excited to open this bottle of wine. Like I said, the little tasting I had was very intriguing, and I'm anxious to try this out. So we're going to open this bottle. Excuse me. Just hit the mic with that. And to do that, we're going to use my handy-dandy little... This came from an Aldi in Europe, of all places, apparently, from what I understand. My wife, she bought it for me at a estate sale a while back, and it was $5. I know this cost a lot more than that, but that's what she got it for. Anyway, this is... we're going to go ahead and open this up. And this should, hopefully, if this cork is good... And this looks, there we go. And then we'll release the cork. Oh, this should be fun. There we go. Poke myself with it. That's sharp. Anyway, we're going to let this wine breathe a little bit. And to help us do that, I'm going to use my little Veneto. There we go. It should begin there good. I'm going to use my little Veneto aerator. And we're going to pour it into my genuine crystal Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant glass. This is one of my favorite glasses to use just because it's easier for me to handle during the wine stream and just because I like it. So we're going to go ahead and pour this. We're going to give it a good pour. And I'm just going to pour a little bit for starters. And then we'll see. Set this to the side. And we'll give it a good swirl. And do so safely. I have a lot of stuff around here. By the way, I'm working on clearing a lot of this out for the next wine stream. Hopefully I'll be able to get it done in time. And we'll see what it has for legs. We do have some tears. That came across... coming down fairly slowly. Let's see. Yeah, it's coming down somewhat. Oh, very, very nice. I don't know if you can see that with the blue. We're also going to be switching out the blue background here in a future date when I get everything else set up with the set here. Let me see what it has for alcohol. It has 14.5% alcohol by volume. And as I've said so many times, from what I've learned, that that posted alcohol content is not quite as high as the actual alcohol content that that's really in this. What I've heard, and said, I've heard it that way, but don't take my word for it. So we give it a good swirl. Let's give it a good sniff. Mmm. Rather complex wine. Let's see. Anyone else joining us in the chat yet? Like I said, this is going to be fun. Anyway, let's see what we have here. It does have a deep red color. I have read that it can be kind of purplish and a little bit. It's just a very deep red. It looks full-bodied. And, of course, we have a combination of four or five different wines in here. I guess they're all the same vintage, 2016 of whatever the wines they are. Sometimes, you know, they'll take a lot of different wines and make a red blend, mix them all up, and sometimes they're different vintages, too. So I never know. But anyway, 25% Grenache, 25% Syrah, 25% Mourvèdre, and 25% Carignan. I can't see. That's my tongue. Okay, I swirled around enough. What do I smell? It has a very nice bouquet to it. A little flowery, I think. Let's give it a good taste. Oh, wow. I can taste a lot of things in here. A lot of different, there's some spice, there's a little bit of spice. There are some tannins, not bad. It's kind of, medium on the, I think they're kind of light on the tannins, but, you know, quite light on the tannins, but they're there. There's some berry fruit in there. You can taste that. And rather silky. It's very smooth. Somewhat acidic. Yeah, so that it does have a nice finish to it, and I've got to have some more of this. I've got to have some more of this wine here. To really taste the wine, you have to get into about half a bottle of it, and I have a feeling I could do that pretty easily tonight. Now, I am picking up something at the end. Is that licorice? I do believe it's just a little bit of licorice. It does have kind of a little bit of licorice to it. And I love licorice. Yeah, it has a very nice finish to it. I do like this wine, so I'm going to have some more. Now, the thing about this wine is that I went to a wine store, and this was a couple weeks ago, and it was, if you saw the last, I was trying not to let that drip, and it did. I went down there to our Blakeney store in North Carolina, here on the south side, and what happened was, I had gone down there and picked up, The Traditions. And we tried that. We opened that last week. We tried it, and it was a very good wine. I really liked that wine. And I think it goes pretty well with, I think as I mentioned before, it goes pretty well with kind of with some meats and stuff, but as long as they're not too smoky. This one, Let's try it out. Let's try to pair this up. I've got some sausage. We'll try it with that. That's not bad. Brings out the flavor of the, this is a beef summer sausage, by the way. And it does bring out the flavor of the sausage somewhat. This, anyway, what I was going to say was this wine, it was there at the tasting along with the Traditions wine. Now, the Traditions wine was I think, $25 a bottle. This I picked up, and I tried it out, and this was actually my first choice before I purchased the other bottle, because I want to try this one specifically. And I have the receipt right here. And $19.99 a bottle. I paid $19.99 a bottle. Well, I looked it up online, and this is what I've got. Let me pull it up online here for just a moment. What I have here is, it goes for, Vivino has it, well, they don't actually have it yet. They apparently, it's, well, they do. They do have it online. So Vivino has it for $27.99 a bottle. That's the 2016 vintage, which is what I have right here. So about $28 a bottle. And I checked around a couple of other places online. Some other online places don't seem to have it yet. But they do, let's see, wine.com has it going for $27.99 as well. Same price. So it seems to be, the price seems to be stable at $27.99 or $8. $28. I haven't had enough of this yet. Okay, just wait a while and we'll, until things get going, and then I'll really start waxing my merds up. But that seems to be a stable price across the internet right now. So I guess the going price on this is about $28, under $30. I picked it up for $19.99. I got a pretty good buy on it. I think I already have decided that I'm going to go get another bottle of this. Well, they still have it in stock because I don't know that they had a whole lot of it there. They sold me this bottle. I don't think they had a whole lot of it. I know they ran out of a couple of my favorite ones already, and I couldn't get any more. So that's, you know, that's unfortunate. But, oh, Tim says it all looks great. Thanks, Tim. I really appreciate it. like I said, it's, you know, it's been a while since I've been in the TV biz myself, and although I've been doing videos and podcasts and everything else online, but I've just recently started doing streaming per se on my own, kind of on a full scale like this, or on as full of a scale as I can afford, which isn't a whole lot. So I'm just kind of learning some of the, you know, some of the newer technologies out now and trying to coordinate it all. But it's starting to come together, I think. I think it is. I have a few more things to pick up. I want to add a couple more cameras and things like that. But that, it's coming along slowly but surely. And as the budget can afford it, because well, let's face it, I'm doing this on pretty much zero budget, and of course, well, my wine budget comes out of my own pocket too, so nobody's paying me to drink this yet. that could change, I don't know, but right now, no, I'm just doing this on my own. It's just for fun. And boy, tonight, what fun it is. So, I do, considering this, I do recommend this wine, and I do recommend, I think it works very well with sausage. It would probably go okay with lamb, any kind of a meat that has a little bit of, I don't know if I'd put it with a really gamey meat, but I think it would be okay with maybe something with lamb, or say heavily grilled meats. I think it would be just fine for that. You know, I haven't really tried it with the cheese tonight. And the cheese, I have a cheddar. This is a cheddar that my wife, Chi, purchased. And it is, I forgot the name of it, but it's kind of an odd name. But we'll try it. This is an aged, and it does taste that way. It's an aged cheddar. is aged. This cheddar might be too sharp for this wine, but maybe something else. Maybe a Monterey Jack or something. But it does go really well with the sausage. And matter of fact, I think I'll have another piece. It goes so well. I'm gonna pour some more wine. Yeah, I mean, it does really work pretty well with this with the beef summer sausage. I do like this. Okay, stick around, Tim, Steve, Christy. You might see me really finish off this bottle, and I don't do that too often, but it might happen tonight. This is a really, really good wine, and I don't like to drink alone. So tell me what you're drinking. Let me know if you're drinking anything. And it's okay if you're just drinking water. Now, I was going to talk about the water a little bit. Yeah, a little bit, as a matter of fact. I do this for a couple of reasons. One, to clear the palate a little bit. The other reason is because drinking a glass of water, you know how some people get wine headaches, and it happens to me sometimes, especially if I've had quite a bit, and who knows, it could happen tonight. But if you have a glass of wine and then you have a glass of water or some water before you have another glass of wine, apparently it really does prevent you from getting those wine headaches. It does prevent the wine headaches from happening. It kind of helps. So I had heard, I thought it was kind of an old wives' tale. I tried it. We tried it on a stream the other night, and it did work. It did work. So I'm going to keep doing that, and so far it's been good. Now, the nights that I have not done that, I have had a couple of wine headaches. So it's a little old tip, and I to be honest, can't remember where I picked this up. Somewhere on the internet, and everything on the internet is true, right? No, but in this case, it does seem to work. It really does. So that's why the water is here. Handy stuff. Anyway, water is good stuff. My dad used to say, and I tell this story all the time. Well, my dad passed away 2 or 3 years ago, and he was a heavy wine drinker, and he was a heavy drinker all the way around, too much. But wine was basically in his blood. It seems like, in a way, his blood pretty much consisted of 50% wine. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but yeah, there was a lot of blood in his wine, a lot of wine in his blood. I mixed that up, didn't I? A lot of wine in his blood, and there was a time when he was very sick, and we went to go visit him, and I think my sister Penny was there also with us, and someone, I think it was Penny, had asked him if he wanted a glass of water, because he'd been sitting in the chair talking for a while and drinking, and he just said, he got up and said, "Water? I never touch this stuff." Now, the thing is, you'd think he was joking, but to be honest, when I'm thinking back, I don't recall too many times where I actually ever saw him drink a glass of water. Really, honestly. I saw him drink a lot of wine. I saw him drink beer. In fact, he introduced me to my first beer when I was about 12 years old, 13 years old. No, maybe I was a little older. Maybe I was 14, but I was still pretty young. But yeah, my dad did that. But I never, hardly ever, do I remember him actually drink. I don't remember him actually drinking a glass of water, or at least not that I really noticed. And he drank coffee. He drank a lot of coffee, but not too much water. So, and it's good for you to drink a lot of water. It does cleanse the system. Anyway, so I have some notes here. As you know, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. But I do have some notes that I put together because there were some things I did want to talk about. But it's not set in stone. I can go off script, so to speak, anytime. And if you join me in the chat, we can certainly take this in any direction you want, really. Because that's what this is about. This is about getting together, sitting down, chatting, and drinking wine, just having a good time. So if you have something you want to talk about in the chat, bring it up. Bring it up in the chat. Let me know what's going on. And my beautiful wife, Chi, has joined us. Chi, I love you, honey. Thank you for joining us in the chat. And stick around, too, because we're going to have some fun. Benny has joined us in the chat as well, my sister-in-law, Benny. It's good to see you, Benny. It's great to see you, and I hope you're having a good evening. Tell me what you're drinking or what you're not drinking. It's okay. It doesn't matter. It's just join in. And say hi and tell me how things are going with you. By the way, I was going to tell you a little bit about this Veneto aerator. It turns out I've been using them on every stream now since I tried it, except for one when I forgot to put it in there. And it really seems to work very, very well. Now, this was part of what they call a Veneto wine lover set, and I have it down here. Where you can't see it, but it came with a lot of different accessories, including a chiller. There's a little rod that you can use to chill the wine with. You just put it in there and it chills the wine. And it's I haven't tried it yet, but on a future wine stream we're going to try it. But this whole set was only like $19.99. I picked it up from Amazon. I liked it so much that I went ahead and put it on my site. If anyone else wanted to purchase it. Now, yeah, full disclaimer, it is an affiliate link. So, you know, if you purchase it, I might get a few cents. Who knows? Probably not much, but a few cents. But that would go towards improving the wine stream and just kind of helping offset the costs of some of this. I'm not getting rich on it by any means. And you don't have to purchase it. And if you want to, you can take you can just go in to the link and take the affiliate part out of there. And then that's okay. So it's not like I'm really pitching it to go buy anything to make me money. But I mean, if you did decide to, and it would be great if you can to help support this. I don't have a Patreon or anything set up, so if you did decide to, that would be great. I'd really appreciate your support. Having said that, and that wasn't intended to be a promotional thing, but I really do like this set a lot, and I'm using it, and we're going to test out some other parts of this set later on. Excuse me, this wine set. We have some birthdays. I wanted to give a shout-out to some of my friends and relatives who've had birthdays. Oh, and Benny says, hi, how are you? I'm doing just fine, Benny. I have this. This is, we're drinking the Domaine de la Jeunesse. This is a Côtes du Rhône Villages wine, and it's really, really good. I'm enjoying it. So, yes, I'm doing pretty well right now, and I think by the time this is over, I'm going to be doing really well. Now, ask me again tomorrow morning. I don't know, but right now, I'm feeling pretty good. Anyway, birthdays. My friend Taylor, who I work with, and she made these buttons, the Cube Command buttons for my son Tommy for his podcast, Cube Command. Yeah, Tommy does a podcast with his friend, and he ordered some of these because he saw the ones that she made for me. The Drink with Rick ones, and if you haven't seen them, they're up on the website. You can see those. But then, in fact, I'm wearing one right now. But Taylor, she is the button gnome, and she makes these pinback buttons. Really good, reasonable price. She does a really good job. She's had like 700 or 800, you know, 5-star reviews on her site, and that I think it's at. Etsy.com. She has an Etsy site, Etsy.com/shop/button gnome, like GNOME, like a garden gnome. And she does a great job. Anyway, Taylor had her birthday this past week. I'm not going to give her age because I'm a gentleman and I don't give away the ages of the ladies. Although, last, if Pete was in the chat right now, he would say, wait a minute. You know, you gave a shout out to Aunt Connie and she's 102. Well, I did that because she's 102. I mean, you know, you can't ignore that age. That's pretty special. You can reach 102. Now, she isn't exactly 102 years old yet. She is going to be 102 this coming week on July 4th. She was born on the 4th of July. I think that's pretty cool. But, and I did toast her last week. I'll toast her again. This is to you, Aunt Connie. And Taylor had her birthday this week. It was on Thursday, I believe, and she and we had they bought us all lunch in the office, and this is to you, Taylor, a toast to Taylor if you're watching later on. Now I like to toast. See, birthdays are a perfect excuse, a perfect way to toast birthdays. Let's see, who else had a birthday this week? Rob, my friend Rob, who I don't see in the chat tonight, but he's been a regular here in the chat, as you've been watching regularly on the wine stream. He had his birthday. As a matter of fact, I think his birthday was on Thursday as well. And here's to you, Rob, wherever you are, if you're catching the wine stream later. And I appreciate your support and watching us pretty regularly. In fact, I think this is the first night I haven't seen him in the chat for quite a while. And there's one more very, very important person, who someone near and dear to my heart, who is having a birthday on July 2nd. And that is my beautiful wife, Chi. Chi, here's to you. Happy birthday coming up. And a toast to my lovely wife, Chi. And I'll toast her some more as I go through this bottle. Another excuse to drink. Another excuse to drink with Rick. Toasting birthdays. Anyone else have a birthday coming up? Tim, Steve, Christy, anyone else there? Benny, I know I know when your birthday is. And here's a toast to all of you also for watching the stream. I really do appreciate it. And you know, I haven't really checked to see if anyone's watching on YouTube yet, and I apologize for that. Usually, there are not too many people that go into the chat. And we do get people watching on YouTube, but usually no one engages in the YouTube chat. So that's why I generally kind of keep it on the Facebook stream, watching the chat there. So anyway, the birthdays, you know, I had a birthday earlier this year, and birthdays for me, I enjoy celebrating other people's birthdays. But for me, I've reached the age where birthdays, I don't like to be reminded about how old I'm getting. Now, I do enjoy living, so I want to keep living and have more birthdays, more or less. But I don't want to be reminded about how much older I'm getting, because I don't want to really get old. You know, it'd be nice to, it'd be great if you could just pick an age, any age, and just stay that age and just live a long life at that age. Of course, that's not reality. But, yeah, it's something that it's a fantasy. So, you know, when you get to reach my age, it just, you don't want to be reminded. Well, I don't know. Some people do. Some people won't care. Some people enjoy that. So, but me, I'm just assume, just let my birthday come and go and just pretend to be a much younger age. You know, if I could just say, I'm just going to be 59 from now on and just stay 59. Okay, so I'm giving away my age. No, I'm 60 now. Okay, I am 60. But if I was, if I could, I would just stop the clock at 59, let me put it this way. I'd stop the age counting at 59 and say, okay, I'm 59. I don't feel 60 most days. And usually after I've had a couple of glasses of this, I definitely don't feel 60. Don't feel my age. And Chi could attest to the fact that oftentimes I don't act my age, because she often tells me that. Well, she doesn't often tell me, sometimes. But I don't really want to, you know, I've watched other people grow old, and some of them grow old gracefully, some of them do not. You know, if I could only be like William Shatner in that respect, because he's still out there riding horses. What is he, 88 now? He had a birthday a couple months ago, and this guy's still extremely active everywhere. There are a few other people that have reached a very old age, and they're still active, and they're still doing things, and they're still working, and that's why I don't really want to retire. Because, you know, people say, you don't want to retire, why don't you want to retire? I saw what happened to my dad when he retired. I saw what happened to other people when they retired, and they just sort of, after that, it's all over, just going to sit around and wait, you know, watch Netflix and wait to die. I don't want to be like that. As long as I'm working, as long as I'm contributing, I can keep on living. I have a reason for living. I have a purpose, and I can pretend that I'm not getting too old. You know, I'm getting the letters. I have been getting the letters for a long time from AARP and all these retirement things, and it's depressing is what it is. It's just downright depressing. And I basically run them through the shredder. I have a shredder over here. Basically run them all through the shredder because I don't want to join them. I don't want to walk. Now, I have taken advantage of the Denny's and a couple other places of the discounts. I've been into IHOP and ordered the senior citizens breakfast a couple of times because it's cheaper. But Denny's the breakfast, but that's because I like to take advantage of the discounts. But other than that, I really don't like to be reminded of how old I'm getting. And you know what's funny, it's I've been carded a few times recently when I've been to the supermarket to purchase a bottle of wine, and they do that because it's required. They have to ask, and if you look 25 or anything like that. And I should be, when people are the kids are carding me, you know, I really, really should take that as a compliment. But you know that it actually really irks me. And then I walk out of the store after I purchased the wine and shown my ID and said, oh, do I look? Sometimes I do this. Sometimes I walk up to the register and I have the bottle of wine, and they ask to verify my age. And I'm wearing a hat. So I'll lift my hat and I say, okay, do I look underage? And then they'll go, well, no, because with my hat on, you know, you can't see the bald spots, but the big bald spot in the middle. But it irks me, or used to irk me, actually not so much anymore, really, but it used to irk me a lot. And I'm thinking, and I'm walking out of the store thinking, why does that bother me? Why does that bother me that they would card me for my age, even though I know it's pretty obvious I'm not 18 or 19 years old? That should be a compliment, right? I mean, if they're carding you and they're saying, well, we kind of have to card anyone who looks under 25, that's a compliment. And I should walk out of that store happy, elated, you know, very feeling quite happy, you know, that person just made my day saying that I don't look 60 years old. But yet, up until very recently, that kind of irked me. And you know, I really don't know why it did. But it doesn't bother me so much anymore because I sort of had that little epiphany that, wait a minute, if they're carding me because they have to for anybody who looks 25 or under when I'm wearing a hat, and I'm wearing a hat and I look young, that's maybe I am aging gracefully. Maybe that is a compliment. So I should appreciate that. I should really appreciate that because I know that there's going to come a day at some point really, really soon where they're just going to look at you and they say, here's your bottle of Mad Dog. Take and go home. No, I don't buy that stuff, okay? I'm not buying that stuff. But still, I think that I should be more appreciative when people card me, especially the younger kids when they say, hey, you know what, he looks like... Now, there are some kids, there are some younger kids like 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds that look at any adult and they think that they can't tell... Well, any adult that's older than me is an old person, and but I'm not even going to go there right now. I've got stories about that. I'm not going to go there. But as it is right now, I think if you get carded, if you're 30, 40, 50, my age, and they start carding you, don't get upset with them. Just be thankful. Tell them thanks a lot. I mean, it's a compliment. It really is. So I went too long with that on birthdays and whatever, but that is basically why I don't get into the birthday thing too much, Mike. For me, but for other people, I enjoy toasting other people's birthdays because it's I appreciate the fact that they're around, that they're alive, that they're enjoying they're having another birthday. And because there's so many people that have not lived this long that cannot enjoy a birthday, and anybody who can be around and enjoy their next birthday, I think that's worth toasting. And of course, that's the other reason for celebrating a birthday is just to toast them and say happy birthday. So, I was going to actually talk about something else. That, of course, if anyone else is in the chat, if you want to stop in and chat, whoops. Anyway, if anyone else wants to join in, just feel free to do so. Jump in. Tell me what you're drinking. Tell me what's going on in your week. Tell me what you think of birthdays. Tell me if you're having a birthday coming up. If you are, I will toast you as well. And have a very happy birthday. You know, I don't know. Now, I don't know if my wife is watching this, but I am at a loss as to what to get my wife for her birthday. Now, I'm taking a big risk saying this right here because she's saying, well, you don't have to get me anything for my birthday. Right? But you should get me something for my birthday. Well, I'm at a loss. I'm at a total loss. She's kind of tied my hands this year because I really don't know what to get her. Because, shopping for my wife, I want her to buy her a nice outfit, but she doesn't like a lot of the outfits that I pick out for her. Of course, I'm terrible at that kind of stuff because I'm a guy, and also I'm an old guy, and I know what looks good on her, but it's not just so much what looks good on her. It's what she likes to wear. And so I'm kind of sensitive to that. And to be honest, I really don't know what to get her for her birthday. So I'm still struggling with that. I think we're probably going to do a nice dinner or something. I think she's actually working on her. No, she's off on her birthday, which is good. I'm working on her birthday. So we're going to have to wait until July 4th before we can celebrate anything. Which, actually, coming up, speaking of which, I mean, change the subject. Oh, actually, yes, it was. But July 4th, Independence Day, We're going to have, I was thinking about this. I was actually thinking about doing a special wine stream for July 4th. So, because it's another it's another reason to have a wine stream, right? But around my neighborhood, here in my neighborhood, some of the neighbors have a tendency to really, really want to celebrate July 4th with a lot of fireworks and such. So I don't know that I would be able to do that because there's just going to be too much noise. It's just, I mean, let me put it to you that way. There would just be too much noise. So it wouldn't really, I don't think it would be a really fun thing to listen to or to watch. So we're probably going to skip that and just wait till next Saturday. I don't know if anyone has any big plans for celebrating July 4th in your neighborhood, but around here, boy, they really shoot off the fireworks, and I'm talking, they shoot off fireworks big time. Now, when I was younger, when I was a kid, and we lived in Florida, we used to do the same thing. We'd go, of course, it wasn't really legal to shoot off fireworks or to have fireworks there. I don't know if the rules have changed down in Florida over the years. I really don't, because we've been here in Charlotte for 12 years, so I know they've made changes to a lot of, you know, they made a lot of changes in the state over that period of time. I don't know if that's one of them. When I was a kid, we used to drive up to south of the border and pick up fireworks there, or the Georgia-Florida border, and pick up fireworks, and we'd bring them back home, and then we would save them for January 1st, 4th of July, those kind of things, and shoot them off in our backyard. Now, back in those days, it wasn't that big of a deal, because even though we lived in a subdivision, we actually lived... At the time, we lived in a subdivision called Casa Loma, which was off 436. It was in Winter Park, and back in around 1972, 73, 74, there really wasn't much development going on there. Disney had just come in the area; they had really just opened up, I think, in the end of 71, and it was still, Orlando was still kind of a sleepy little town at that point. There really wasn't a lot going on. And the development that we lived in was a fairly new development. And we had a nice big backyard with, and the other side of that backyard, my dad, he was an organic gardener, and he grew, did a lot of organic gardening there on the other side of the fence on the county side. It was all county property there. It was just that we had a canal back there. We had a drainage canal. And we had acres and acres and acres of basically wooded area and just marsh and just and nothing going on. It was just undeveloped area. So it was easy for us to do things like shoot off rockets, which we were big when I was a kid. We were, my cousins and my brothers and I were, and my dad too, we were big into model rocketry. So we used to go out in our backyard and shoot off rockets, and it was okay because the airport was miles away and nobody would bother us. Nobody, you know, planes didn't fly nearby, and it was all undeveloped area in that area behind our house. And that was perfect for shooting off fireworks on January 1st or New Year's Eve or on 4th of July, usually on the 4th of July. We get out there with the neighbors and we bring back all the fireworks that we purchased over the border illegally. because they weren't really legal to have in Florida. And we'd shoot them all off in the backyard, and nobody would care. Nobody would call the cops. Nobody would care because we were kind of in a, it was largely unincorporated Seminole County back in that time. So it wasn't a big deal. Nowadays, of course, I've watched Orlando grow and just become the metropolis it is today. But in Charlotte here, which is all pretty much heavily developed, and even the undeveloped areas are not really undeveloped. They're fairly heavily developed, and they're building more and more all the time. But in our neighborhood, we're in a fairly well-established neighborhood. You're not really supposed to be shooting this stuff off. But they do it anyway. And I think they still generally get away with it unless they're being excessively rowdy and somebody calls the cops. But as long as nobody does anything really stupid, then they can usually get away with it. But they shoot off. They're not shooting off old bottle rockets and things like that. They're shooting off the really big things, you know, the big candles, the big rockets. And that's always interesting, entertaining to watch. But I tell you what, I've learned a long time ago, the first year I moved into this neighborhood, don't even try to podcast on a night like that. Or on that weekend, because they'll carry it over into the weekend. Don't even try to podcast. Don't try to do anything like a live stream or anything like that, because they'll just destroy it audio-wise. So I went off on a long tangent there, but that's what this is about. It's the stream of consciousness. And once again, you break in, tell me, I take the stream of consciousness, I guess this is starting to cook in, stream of consciousness into another direction entirely. So, and that's good. You know, I've set an hour and a half as the cutoff point for this wine stream. So an hour and a half, 90 minutes, and then we have a cutoff point. But it's so easy to get off the rails and go on tangents, and then before I know it, it's 12:30, and it's time to cut off the stream, and I'm still rambling on, and there's so much I want to say, and of course I'm a big talker anyway, but it's hard to turn off that record button. It's hard to stop streaming, to turn off that stream button. Because I really do look forward to these streams. I look forward to talking to all of you. I'm glad to see Tim and Steve and Christy and Chi and Benny and anyone else who's joined us in the chat. You know what? I haven't looked at YouTube lately, but nobody's in the chat in YouTube. But I think there are some people watching. Yeah, we've got people watching on YouTube. So, hey, if you're on YouTube watching, join in the chat. I'll pay attention to YouTube, and tell me what's going on with you, and tell me what you're drinking. I haven't had enough of this. I'm waiting for Chi to break in the door any moment and say, "You've had enough." But you know what? My wife is, she's a very understanding person. She's a very, very sweet lady. She can be tough. But you know, I did not marry her to marry a wimpy little girl. I married her to be able to counter my idiosyncrasies and my crazy rants and things like that. She's just I married her for some balance in my life, but mostly I married her because I love her. Okay, but she really does balance me out. She keeps me well grounded. She keeps me, pretty much even keeled, and keeps my head on. And I don't know what I'd do without her. So, for that reason, I really want to make her birthday special. And we're back to birthdays again, by the way. I don't know if anyone has any ideas. Anyone has any ideas at all as to what I can do for my wife on her birthday that make it really even more special? I'm all ears. I'm all open to that. Anyway, so I was going to talk about something else tonight, and that was as many of you know, I work for a company that we sell two-way radios and we sell radar detectors and things like that. Anything radio related, technology related, for radios. And I do blogging. I do the I put the products in a system and do the blogging, promote all that. I'm basically the marketing guy for the company, the product manager. And I do we do a podcast, so I produce the podcast and videos. I produce videos for the company. Do a lot of writing. I've done a lot of writing this past week. And I did a lot of writing on one of the sites that really it was really kind of a personal thing for me. It really drove things home for me. A lot of what I wrote a three-part series on red light cameras, and it was really kind of a personal thing for me because I've had personal experiences with red light cameras. Recently, Texas was, and this is how it happened. Recently, Texas signed into law banning the use of red light cameras in the state. And once again, this is not a political program. I don't talk about politics and religion per se. This really is intended to go political. This is intended to go more DOT wise and just being a driver on the road. But Texas passed this law, and they're going to ban red light cameras in the state, and then they're going to allow the existing red light cameras to remain to finish out their contracts for the companies that put them in, and then they're going to shut those down over time. And I have very, very strong opinions of that. On that. And the reason is because I have personal experiences with red light cameras. I don't like them. I think they're a bad idea. They always were a bad idea. I don't like red light cameras for several reasons, but mainly because of the fact that I think they're a safety issue. And I've had a couple of near misses with red light cameras in operation, which is why I feel strongly the way I do. Now, I know there are a lot of arguments on both sides. You know, on one side, the red light cameras are supposed to save lives. They're supposed to, you know, because we have a lot of red light runners that go through and they kill people every year running red lights. And then the purpose of having the red light camera there is to help deter that. And on the outside, it's a great idea. I mean, it is a great idea and concept. It really is in concept, but in practice, it's actually a terrible idea. It's actually not a good idea at all, and it's been pretty much proven. There have been studies done on both sides of the aisle, those who are for red light cameras and those who are against. And some of the studies state that red light cameras actually reduce the number of you know, T-bone accidents and head-on collisions and things like that by up to 30%, which is true. That is actually true. Those numbers are accurate. And a lot of studies have been done on that. But what the studies don't tell you is because that some other studies have been done to look at, well, are they really safer? Well, the other studies have found that yes, they do reduce the number of T-bones and the number of head-on collisions, but the number of rear end collisions actually increased by 30%. The same number. So it's really a wash. It's like, well, you get rid of the front end collisions and the T-bone collisions, but the rear end collisions have actually gone up by the same amount. And people are saying, well, why is that? Well, I can tell you from personal experience why that is. But before I get to that, I want to say that, you know, in theory, red light cameras are a great idea. But in practice, they are revenue generators. That's the whole reason that municipalities put in red light cameras as just as revenue generators. And I say this with a lot of conviction because, if the red light cameras were, if the purpose of the red light camera was to save lives, just to save lives, these municipalities would just put the red light cameras in, and they would take charge. The municipalities would take charge of monitoring and regulating those red light cameras. And they would really take things on a case-by-case basis. And they would price their tickets accordingly. But that's not what happens. That's not what happens here. What happens is that they enter into a contract with an independent company to install the red light cameras. And that independent company is actually given the authority to pretty much regulate and issue the tickets on those red light cameras. So the tickets are not actually issued by the municipality or by the law officers in charge within that municipality, the ones that are in charge of enforcing the law regarding red light runners. They're actually given to the companies. The companies actually make the call. If you make that, you run that red light, they issue the ticket, which, you know, there are a lot of legal issues regarding that. And as a matter of fact, a lot of those tickets have been challenged in courts, and the courts have generally thrown them out because, you know what, the tickets weren't actually issued by a law enforcement officer. They were actually issued by a third-party company that did not have the legal authority to officially issue a ticket in the first place. You know, they're not the law. They're a contractor. Well, it gets worse. What happens is that the company that's in charge of managing the tickets, by the way, Daniel's joined us in the chat. Hi, Daniel. It's great to see you. I haven't talked to you in a long time. It's great to see you. Come on in and join us. Pull up a chair, wherever you are, and tell me what you're drinking, and enter the chat, and feel free to jump in anytime. I relay all of the comments in the chat. That's what I do here, is we're engaging conversation. So anyway, where was I? Oh yes, as far as the third party companies that install these red light cameras. So basically, they basically issue the tickets, or their system issues the tickets. There are several problems with that. One problem is that in a lot of states, the tickets are issued not based on who's driving the vehicle. The tickets are issued based on who the owner of the vehicle is. So you could be, let's say, for instance, that a hypothetical, and this actually has not happened, so it's just a hypothetical. Let's say, for instance, that I own the vehicle, but my wife is driving the vehicle, and she gets caught by a red light camera in the state. And in some states, it's the drivers, but in a lot of states, it's the owner of the car that's liable. So let's say, for instance, that she's driving my car, and she inadvertently runs a red light through real no fault of her own. It's just the way they have, and I'll get to that in a moment. But let's say she gets caught in that, and they issue the ticket. They're going to take a photograph. Some of them take a photograph of the driver. Some take a photograph of the tag. Some take a photograph of both. It just sort of depends on the system a little bit. But what's going to happen is, more often than not, she'll run the red light as a driver. They'll take the photograph. They'll issue the ticket, and they will not issue it to her. They'll issue it to me. Now, I wasn't in the car. I didn't run a red light. but I get a ticket. Now, in some states, depending on the situation, there may be no points on it. But in other states, there are points on your license. So what happens is that I'll get a ticket for not being in my car, for not running a red light, for not being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'll get a ticket for running a red light. And if I don't pay that ticket, or if I contest that ticket and lose, and I don't, pay the ticket, or maybe because a lot of these tickets are generally issued by mail, they're issued by mail. If something happens and I actually never get the ticket for one reason or another, and I never know that there was a ticket issued, or maybe there was a glitch in the system and it never actually sent the ticket, although it did record having a ticket, and I never know that it was a ticket, the next thing I know, I've got points against my license. And I had no idea. So there are a lot of problems. The whole thing is very, very problematic there. So here I am, an innocent driver that had nothing to do with it, and I'm the one that gets hit with a ticket that I have to pay. And if I don't pay it, I get points on my license, which is a bad thing. You get enough points in your license, they suspend your license or they take it away from you altogether. So that's not a good thing. Well, this is a real problem. Well, it gets worse. It gets worse. So the companies that run these red light camera operations, they basically, a lot of them basically get carte blanche. So they can go in when they're setting up these systems, they can do a couple of things. They can manipulate because they want, this is all for them, it's all about revenue. This is not for the companies, it's not about safety. It's not about deterring lawbreakers, anything like that. This is about revenue. That's all it's about. So what these companies will do is they'll go in oftentimes and they will shorten the yellow lights, the time between when the light turns green to when it turns yellow to when it turns red. And that way they can catch more red light runners, people that didn't intend to run the red light, but because they couldn't make the yellow light because they shortened the yellow light from, say, 5 to 6 seconds down to 2 or 3 seconds or maybe down to 1, almost all but eliminate the yellow light, they can pretty much catch anybody that's running that as a red light runner when it suddenly turns from green to red, and then they catch a lot more people, and that's a lot more money in their pockets. This is, at the very least, this is unethical. Okay, it's definitely unethical. And before I go any further, I just want to say hi to Alan. Alan, it's good to see you in the chat. I've seen you online quite a bit in Facebook. It's good to see you in the chat. Welcome, join in. Say hi, and drink with Rick. I'm gonna have a little more of this as well. So anyway, getting back to the red light cameras to the companies, they're shortening the yellow lights. Well, this is not merely an inconvenience. At the very least, this is unethical because you're not giving people enough time to stop, and you're basically trapping them into a red light ticket. You're trapping them into it now. Generally, the yellow lights are supposed to be a warning system to give people time to stop. But that's where it gets really bad, because it's not just an inconvenience. Wine's kicking in a little bit by now, by the way. It's not just unethical, it's downright dangerous. This is actually a dangerous situation because the purpose of the yellow light has the yellow light is crucial to the camera or excuse me, to the red light system, to the light system, I should say. The yellow light is a crucial component of this traffic light system, in the sense that when that light turns yellow, it's telling you that, okay, it's going to turn red, so prepare to stop. That's what it means. It means turning yellow, prepare to stop. Get ready. Now, if you can stop safely, do so now. But if you can't stop safely, if you're going, let's say, for instance, you're in a 45-mile-an-hour zone and you're doing 45 and you're going through approaching an intersection, if you're not, if that light turns yellow, and if you can stop safely and stop the intersection, then do it. But if you are almost on top of that light and you don't have time to stop, that yellow light's supposed to have enough time in there, allow enough time for you to be able to safely pass through that light before it turns red. Not so much because to prevent you from running a red light, but for safety. This is important for safety on so many levels. Well, and this is why I have a problem. This is where I have the problem with the red lights. The companies have taken upon themselves, because there's not much oversight, and then that's another big problem that the municipalities have. They pretty much give these companies carte blanche to managing these red light systems. So there's not a whole lot of oversight over this, because to be honest, a lot of these municipalities, they are cash strapped too, and they rely on the revenue from these red light cameras as well. So they're fine. A lot of them are fine for turning the other way, looking the other way, and letting the companies handle that. And that sort of absolves them from a lot of liabilities, okay, theoretically. Well, these red light these red light camera companies, what they tend to do is they will tend to take that yellow light to increase the amount of revenue, is they will shorten that yellow light. Now, generally, you get about 5 to 6 seconds on average for that yellow light before it turns red. And that should give you enough time if you're going a certain clip in that zone. You're doing the legal speed limit, as I'm sure most everyone is. Right, that's another topic. If you're doing that legal speed limit and that light turns yellow when you're at a certain point, it should give you ample time to be able to either slow down a stop or safely pass through the light before it turns red. One of the two. Okay. But what these companies will do is they will take that light and they'll shorten it. And they won't shorten it by a second or two. Sometimes they'll shorten it down to 3 seconds. They'll cut it in half. Sometimes they'll cut it down to 2 seconds. Sometimes 1 second. Almost instantaneously now, it's turning from green to red, not giving anyone enough time to stop before they run the light. Now, this is why it's dangerous. And I actually wrote an article on our blog. You can actually read the blog at byradardetectors.com. But I wrote an article a few years ago about this, after an incident occurred, or nearly occurred, to my family and me. We were traveling. And at that point, I was so livid about it that I wrote this article. And it epitomizes the problem with the red light cameras in that respect. My family and I were visiting at the time. My sister Penny and her husband Tom and my nephew Ben were living in Wilmington. They're not there now, but this was some years ago. They were living in Wilmington, North Carolina, and we would go to visit them on occasion. We've been there a few times, and on one particular trip, they had installed a number of red light cameras in Wilmington, downtown Wilmington. And we were on the trip. This was in the evening. It was just a little after dusk. We were on our way to their house. And there were two, three intersections, and I did have a, at the time, I believe I had a radar detector on the car. And not because, and I don't carry radar, just for full disclosure, I don't use a radar detector for speeding because I'm not really a speeder. I use radar detectors because I have an issue with entrapment. I have an issue. I want to know who's watching me and where, who's spying on me and where. That's a little different story, okay? I have a different reason for having a radar detector than some other people do. But that's my reason for doing it. Now, I don't always keep one in my car, but I did have one a few years ago. I had one in my car at the time. So it was alerting me to some red light camera intersections up ahead. Now, some people get that. That's another reason why these red light cameras are an issue, because some drivers get really, really anxious when they realize that there's a red light camera or there's an intersection with a red light camera. They get a little more anxious because they're realizing that, oh man, I got to stop. I don't want to get a ticket. And for a lot of reasons, for a lot of the reasons I already mentioned. A lot of drivers will get more anxious. And of course, when you have an anxious driver at the wheel, you know, your senses are heightened, but then that also increases the chances of an accident just because you have an anxious driver at the wheel. Do you know what I mean? When you're a relaxed driver and you're driving at the wheel and something comes along, you can generally react. But when somebody's already kind of worked up and anxious, it's, you know, that's a little problematic. So you want relaxed, and I don't mean relaxed drivers like they're not paying attention or distracted or whatever. I mean relaxed drivers like they're confident at the wheel and they're cool. They can, you know, everything's good. They're paying attention, but it's all cool. Anxious drivers are more, you know, they're tensed up and things happen. Accidents happen that way. They really do. Well, I was anxious when I became anxious when the radar detector alerted me to the fact that there were red light cameras up ahead. Sorry, it's on the line. Anyway, where was it going? Okay, the red light cameras up ahead, there were like two or three intersections with these things. And that just made me anxious when I found out that they were there. Now, we were pretty far back. Now, the first one we got through okay. It was not a big deal. The second one that we went through, I saw the intersection way ahead, and I saw, and we were pretty far behind the other vehicles that were going through. We saw, it was like a mile or mile and a half up ahead that we saw this intersection, but I saw the light turning red all of a sudden, and the vehicle in front of us ran their red light. They just ran it because they didn't have time to stop. And all of a sudden, you saw all these flashes of light at the intersection. I thought, oh, great. Okay, we have a red light camera there. Okay, saw that. I recognized that. Been through enough of them. I knew what that was. So the light stayed red, and we were still, about three-quarters of a mile, about a mile away from it. So I was thinking, okay, well, maybe I can time this thing. So the light turned green. We were about... a little over half a mile away, maybe less than that, maybe 4/10 of a mile. And light turned green, and I'm thinking, okay. And this was a kind of a major intersection, so I was thinking, you know, usually those green lights will hang for a while. So I started to cut my speed. I was actually already doing speed limit, but I started to cut my speed a little bit, thinking that, well, I may not be able to make this light, so why don't I just go ahead and just catch the next red light. So I started going, but this light stayed green. The light just stayed green. So I started thinking, okay, the longer it stays green, the more chances of it of me getting caught at this thing when it turns red. So I'll just keep going, just keep an eye on it. And I was starting to get a little tensed up, a little nervous. And there was a car behind us, and he was tailgating us. He was right on our tail, which is not cool to begin with. You know, if you are a tailgater, don't be stupid. Stop tailgating, okay? It's just, it's never cool to tailgate anyway, but it's just so stupid. It's just a stupid thing to do. It really is for everybody. You put everybody's life in danger, not just yours, but the people in front of you, the people behind you. It's just stupid. Don't tailgate, okay? But this guy was like right on our rear end. And the closer I got to the light, the more I realized that there was a pretty good chance I wasn't going to make this light. And we got, sure enough, we got about, I don't know, we were about 100 yards away from the light. And it suddenly turned yellow. And I said, okay, we're 100 yards away from the light. It's going to turn yellow. It's yellow now. I'm 100 yards away from this light. I'm not that far away. So my first thought is to slow down and stop. But I was doing 45, and the speed limit was 45. And I realized I was not going to make this light. I realized I wasn't going to make this light because if it's a red light camera light, chances are they've cut the amount of time from yellow to red. And I was actually correct about that, actually. But this guy is right on our tail. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. If I hit the brake suddenly, which she hates it when I do that anyway, but if I hit the brake suddenly, this guy behind us is going to plow right through us and kill us all. Okay, because he wasn't slowing down for anything. So I had to make a quick decision. I'm getting right up on top of this light. And this it's everything just happened in slow motion, but it was only like 3 seconds. And this light, and I'm going right under this light. I just decided, okay, you know what? If I get a ticket, I get a ticket. But I'd rather get a ticket than get everybody killed. That was a decision. That was a split-second decision that I had to make where this light suddenly turns yellow. I don't have time to stop. I have to just go ahead and coast through it and hope it doesn't turn red on me. And that was the decision I had to make. Do I stop, hit the brakes, and get everybody killed, or do I get a ticket? That was my choice. Get killed or get a ticket. So I chose to get the ticket because I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to get killed. And I went under the light, and I'm watching this light as I'm going under it, and it turns red right when I'm going under it. Right when I'm about to go under it, it turns red. And I went through this thing, and I kind of blanked out. And then the lights go flash. And I thought, oh, my goodness, did we get caught? But we never got the ticket. And then I realized, you know what? The guy behind us on our butt, he's the one that got the ticket. He got the ticket because they flashed on him. But here's the moral of the story, and this is why I hate those things, because it's those kind of split-second decisions that you sort of, those moral decisions that you have to make. Do I obey the law and get killed, or do I run the red light, get the, you know, disobey the law, break the law, and get the and have to pay $150 because I think there was a sign there that said something like $150 or $200 fine for the red light for running the red light. And I don't have $200 to give out to Wilmington. I don't, I mean, especially where that we don't live there. We don't, that's like so that bothered me a lot. And that's what that was one of the reasons why I came back and wrote that article, because I realized at that point just how ludicrous the whole thing was, and how it wasn't about money at all. I mean, how it wasn't about safety at all. It was just about money. So from that point on, I despised those red light cameras. And I know I'm going on along on this, but it was. It was a story that, a true story, by the way, but it was something that bothered me for a long time. So when I wrote this three-part series of articles, I kind of hearkened back to that experience, and that's one more reason why I think, you know what, red light cameras, they're a great idea in theory, but in practice, I think they're dangerous. They're not good. And the fact that Texas became the 11th state, as a matter of fact, some of the states have actually gotten a clue. They've actually caught on to this and gotten a clue and said, you know what, these things are not good. These things actually cause more, they don't really save lives. They just shift the accidents from one type of accident to another. And they're really just, that just puts everybody on edge. So we're getting rid of them. So there are 11 states currently that have either outright bans on red light cameras or have restricted their use to just certain circumstances in certain places. And Texas, I think this month, July 1st, I think, Texas became the 11th state to do that. So I applaud Texas on that. I think they were doing the right thing. Anyway, so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Did we lose our live stream on this? Anyway, I have a couple other things I wanted to talk about real quick. We're kind of running out of time here, so I'll have to cover that another time. But you know, one of the things I've been doing is I've been reading the Wine Bible, and I think I mentioned this in the last stream. The wine, you know, I haven't been drinking enough, have I? We're almost two-thirds of the way into this bottle. Should I go long? Should I keep going? Or should I finish the bottle? Or should I just go ahead and call it a night? I don't want to bore everybody to death. And that was a long story I went into. But I'm glad for those of you who stuck, if anyone has stuck around for it, I'm glad you stuck around. I was going to mention, I was going to talk about French class because of my bad French. And once again, we're drinking Domaine de la Jeunesse. And it is a Côtes de Rhône villages, I don't know. It's a 2016, and it is Côtes de Rhône. It is a combination. I forgot what the combo is now. I have to go back and look at it again. Let's see. Let me pull that up and see if I can find it. It is a combination of, where are we? I don't even have it anymore. I'm going to have to read it off this thing. Let me pull up the back of this thing again. It is a combination of 55% Grenache. I've heard some websites saying it's 25% Grenache, but this says 55% Grenache. 25% Syrah, 10% Carignan, I think that's how it's pronounced. 5% Cinsault. You know, if my sister Gina was watching this, she'd be cracking up. She'd be rolling on the floor. I can't pronounce any of this stuff. And 5%. Mourvèdre, which I can pronounce because I know what that is. And so this is about four different grapes. This is about four different grapes combined into this wine. And it's actually very, very good. And I highly recommend it. It goes pretty well with the sausages that I have here, the beef summer sausage. The cheese, not so much, but I think it would be good with meats like lamb. Some might be okay with roasted chicken, actually, if it's roasted. It goes well with grilled meats. Could probably go good with a burger, too. I think it'd be all right. I wouldn't have it with a smoked meat, really. I haven't tried it with a smoked meat. I've talked about it. In fact, I was telling Tommy earlier today that it would be nice for me to go up there to the if we'd had dinner there, go up to the barbecue place up here and order one of these big beef ribs, because they have a great beef rib. It's just awesome. And one of these days, I'm going to do that. One of these days, I'm going to pick out a good wine that goes good with a barbecue beef rib. I'm going to order one of these ribs, and I'm going to eat it right here on the Wine Stream. I think that'll be a lot of fun. At least it'll be fun for me. I think the rest of you will be drooling, saying, why is he torturing us like this? But it would be a lot of fun, I guess. Anyway, so this is what we're drinking. It's a really good wine. I highly recommend it. This is good. It goes for about $28 a bottle. I've seen it pretty much online everywhere for about $28. It seems to be pretty much the stable price. I paid $19.99. I'm looking right here at the receipt. $19.99 from Wine Store in Blakeney, North Carolina. And there are several wine stores around here, and they do ship. Now, the one thing is, I have not seen this on their website. They do not have this wine on their website, but if you call them, they could probably ship you a bottle if they can ship to your state. Now, there are some states where they can ship you, to you. There's some states that are not on their list to ship. So if you're in California, or if you're in some of these other states where they can ship to, they'll ship it to you. I know I've done it, and it works out pretty well. All you have to do is call. You can give them a call. Go to winestore-online.com, I think is what the website is, and they'll just give them a call, and they can tell you whether they can ship to you or not. But it's well worth it, definitely well worth it, especially if it's only $20 a bottle. Now, with the shipping, you're going to have to pay the shipping charges, and then by the time you're done, it's probably a wash. But if you're ordering it from Vivino or wine.com or something like that where they're charging $28, $30 a bottle, I think you're still going to have to pay shipping charges. So you might still come out better if you order from Wine Store online-online.com. So that's good to note. We're going to have to wrap up this Wine Stream, unfortunately, because the time has passed so quickly. And there's so much more I wanted to mention. I did want to mention real quick that I have been reading this book. If you want to know more about wine, I highly recommend Wine Bible. The Wine Bible. This was written by Karen McNeil. Karen McNeil is a longtime, I guess she's a sommelier. She's a longtime wine expert. And she has won all kinds of awards. I think from what I understand, just about every award in America, at least, for wines, and or for, you know, for being a wine expert. I don't really know what kind of awards those are, because I'm not a wine expert by any sense. I just like wine, and I enjoy sitting here opening up a bottle of wine here on the Wine Stream. But I'm by no means a wine expert. Now, if expert means that I've had a lot of wine in my lifetime, yeah, I can say that, because I've had a lot of wine in my lifetime. But as far as an expert on wines, I think she's probably the definitive expert. She wrote the book on wine. Literally, she wrote the book on wine. She wrote this thing called Wine Bible. It's 1,008 pages. 1,008 pages of wine information. And I have not really started to go. I've got it on my Kindle. It was free on the Kindle. In fact, if you are an Amazon Prime member, you can download this for free on your Kindle. But I've only gotten like 1% of the way through the book. It's just it's a massive publication. But what I've read so far is fascinating. I'm really enjoying what I'm reading so far. It's really, really good. You can get it in paperback as well. And I think, I'm not sure exactly what the price is on paperback. It's like it's $20 or something like that. It's reasonable. It's reasonable, especially for a book that's 1,000 pages long. It's a reasonable price. If you go to drinkwithrick.com, I have a link somewhere on the site. Let me see. I think I have a link on the side, on the sidebar, on the right sidebar. For it. Yes, I do, for the Wine Bible. And it says $11.14. That's what it says, at least currently where I am, $11.14. So if you're interested in wines, you want to know more about them, check it out. And you can click on that link. Once again, that's an affiliate link. If you have an issue with affiliate links, you can strip the affiliate part out. It's okay. If you could, click on the affiliate link and I'll get a few pennies from it, and that'll help pay for this wine stream. I would really, really appreciate it. But you're by no means indebted to me to do so. There's no obligation to that. Some people don't care about affiliate links. Some people are very, very sensitive to that. So once again, I'm just putting out the information. The Wine Bible is really good. If you do, really, I would really, really appreciate the support if you can purchase the Wine Bible from there with the full affiliate link. But like I said, there's no obligation to do so. I just appreciate it. I just appreciate the fact that you're here watching the wine stream, whether you're doing it live or whether you're doing it later. I just really, really appreciate that you've spent the time, taking the time out of your evening, your Saturday night, to spend it with, just now basically Sunday morning, to spend it with me. And that means a lot to me. It really does. Anyway, here's to you. And I think with this, I think I'll wrap this up, because I was looking at drinking the whole bottle, and I might have a little bit more, because this is really, really good wine. And you know, people ask me, "Oh, well, nobody's asked me that." People were probably wondering, well, maybe they're not. Every wine is good to you, isn't it? Well, no, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. If you go on back and look at our previous wine streams, the proof is there that there are some wines that I do not like, a couple of wines that I've tried that I didn't care for too much. One in particular that's sort of notorious. Where is it? It's not that one. It's the Gran Apaso. The Lenistrol I did enjoy very much. The Gran Apaso I did not like much at all. But there are some wines down here that I generally don't touch. That's why they're not open, because they remain unopened. Although in a future wine stream, I have been challenged to open one of these up for a couple of reasons. And, I almost forgot to mention this. Okay, so my cousin Pete, he suggested that I open up and try some MD2020. Trying to do the Mad Bob, the Mad Dog, or something else along those lines. And I told him, I said, well, I appreciate the suggestion, but I do have principles. I'm not going to, although I have been challenged to open up the Mad Dog and give it a try. I don't know. What do you think? You think I should just go in one night and just open up maybe one of these, the bottles of cheap wine that's really more cough syrup disguised as wine, and just give it a try just for fun? I don't know. Should I do that? Let me know. Just send me your suggestions to rick@savoiamedia.com. That's rick@savoiamedia.com. And you can see I haven't had too much to drink that I couldn't spell my own name or my own domain. But I think I'm getting close. But tell me what you'd like to see me. If there's a particular wine that you would like to see me open up and review, definitely send me an email, or you can leave a comment. Leave a comment on my website here at drinkwithrick.com. That's drinkwithrick.com. And then or my email, rick@savoiamedia.com. I also have a comment form there. You can also send me, just talk to me. That's fine. I'm good. Send me a comment. Fill out the form. Tell me if you have a suggestion for wine. If you're interested if anyone's interested in supporting the wine stream, maybe, I'm not adverse to taking some advertising. I know I've made a bunch of free pitches here. I've given plenty of free free pitches to but if there's a company out there that's I'll take a sponsor. What the heck? I'm okay with that. But I'm not going to beg for sponsorships. Oh, no, I'm not going to beg for sponsorships, okay? But if you're interested, we can talk. We can talk. It's cool. But look, just talk to me. I don't care whether it's about the wine, whether it's about what we've talked about, what I've rambled on about. If you disagree with me about the red light cameras, shoot me an email or a comment or something. Tell me where I'm full of it. Tell me where tell me where I'm wrong. And because you know what? Just because I have a venue to speak my mind, to give my opinions, doesn't make me right. Doesn't make me doesn't mean that I have all the answers, because I certainly don't. I do have a possible solution to the red lights, and that I didn't go into, but we'll go into it in another future wine stream. Maybe if I coherent enough to write it down for next week. Anyway, we're going to close this up now. I want to thank everybody for joining me. I really do. Once again, I really do hate to hit the stop streaming button. And I do have a stop streaming button. I'm looking right at it. I hate to do it because I'm having a good time. And mainly because I'm having a good time with you. I want to thank Christy and Chi and Benny and Alan, Daniel, Tim, if you're still with us. Steve, if you're still there. If you've been able to stick it out through the whole wine stream, I should send you a button anyway. I should send you a t-shirt. I don't have any t-shirts made, but as soon as I do, I should send you guys all a t-shirt, because that means a lot to me. I really do appreciate it. Anyway, thanks a lot for joining me on the wine stream. And once again, you can reach me at drinkwithrick.com or at savoyamedia.com. Anyway, join us next week for the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night, everybody.